All right, so Father's Day is coming up, and I'm already thinking, how can I spoil Alan? Because he never does anything for himself. So I'm thinking maybe a golf outing, or how about a new wardrobe maybe? And maybe not all black. That's why I'm so excited about this new partnership. JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. This exclusive limited-time men's collection with a laid-back, down-home vibe is perfect to gift the father figure in your life. This Father's Day, iHeartRadio and JCPenney want to celebrate the father figure in your life by gifting a $1,000 Visa gift card to put towards their favorite activity, like a round of golf, concert tickets, fishing trip, etc., and a $500 JCPenney gift card to snag some of the exclusive pieces from the Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection. Enter now to make this the best Father's Day ever for the father figure in your life at iHeartRadio.com/Father's Day Sweepstakes. JCPenney, make it count.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs, like the XPS 16, powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you can have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there's no perfect time to start following your dreams. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own. Keep winning. My next guest, big fan of this young man, is the weatherman slash co-anchor on NBC's Today Show and co-host of the third hour of Today. He is owner and CEO of his production company, Al Roker Entertainment Incorporated. He is on the show to discuss his book, You Look So Much Better in Person. That's a great title. His journey is about his journey, but it teaches us how we can weather the storm of life, no matter how heavy the downpour, and shares antidotes from his own treasure trove of memories and being in the spotlight. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation. I'm gonna call him my friend, Al Roker.
Hi, Rashawn. How are you?
Pretty good, my friend. This is a book about first of all, before I even get started, after reading this book, especially the end of chapter 3, where you announced that you are a weatherman, a parade host, a production guy, master of ceremonies, and occasional author. Your book could easily have been titled "I'm More Than a Weatherman" or "Weather Person."
Yeah, I guess it could have been. But, you know, one of the things I've learned, one of the best bits of advice I was given,
yes, sir,
was by Willard Scott, mm-hmm, who was my mentor, who's the man who helped me develop who I am. Said, you know, he goes, listen, two things. He goes, and this was at a dinner we were having. He said, always be yourself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, they can take anything away from you, but they can't take you away from you. And the other thing he said was never give up your day job. You know, no matter, he said, because back then when we were having dinner, he was the number one news personality in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And, you know, and while he was doing that, he still had all these side hustles. Obviously, we didn't call them side hustles.
Right.
But he always said, you know, at the end of the day, everybody knows me for this. And that's where all of this comes from. And so, you know, I try to do all these different things and take advantage of all these different opportunities. But, the reason those opportunities come up is because I'm on the Today Show.
Absolutely. You know, when I was reading the book, you know, you travel from Syracuse, then you go down to D.C., then you go down to Cleveland, then you come back to New York City. It's a journey, but it's a journey about never giving up and working hard. That seems to be the message that you're trying to tell. When an opportunity presents itself, go for it. But when you go for it, give 100%. That seems to be the tone of the book, correct?
Well, here's the deal. My dad told me, I talk about this in my book. And,
absolutely.
You know, my dad, and he is, we lost him back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, I miss him every day. But one of the things that he told me in high school was, and he said, listen, you are going to have to work twice as hard and be twice as good to get half as far as the white kid next to you.
Absolutely. That's true.
And I said to him, but Dad, that's not fair. He says, that's not called fairness. It's called life.
Right.
He said, and that's what you're going to do. And I remember coming home one day with a report card that was less than stellar. And I thought, oh, he is going to just explode.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home and he came home. He was, working as a bus driver. Came home and my mother showed him the report card and he looked at me and he said, if you can tell me this is the best you can do, then I will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is not, I am really disappointed in you. And got up and left the table. And it was like, damn. And I brought those grades up.
Absolutely. When you say that about, because I'm African American, we're 50. And we talk about, the times that we are in now. We're now COVID-19. We're the civil unrest. And I look at your career, and I like to believe that you are a trailblazer. I believe that you was a trailblazer in Syracuse. You were a trailblazer in D.C., trailblazer in Cleveland, and even a trailblazer today. And I'm just asking this question now. Do you realize the significance of who you are as an African-American for somebody or my children to see you on TV?
Well, that's very... I don't even know what to say to that. I think our goal as a people is just to do your job,
right,
and do it to the best of your ability,
mm-hmm,
so that that's what people see, and not just whether it's an Al Roker on TV or listening to a Rashawn on the podcast, but that when you see people in their line of work who do their line of work to the best of possibilities,
mm-hmm,
then that becomes, those people become role models. I was just talking with somebody, growing up in New York City, when I was a kid, seeing a Bill McCrary or a J.J. Johnston or a Gil Noble or Melba Tolliver, Bob Teague, all these folks, and to be honest, I never wanted to be on TV. But I remember what a big deal it was to see us on TV.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying, is that it's a big deal. Your story starts in 68 when you were in college, got this job, weekend weatherman job. And you went in there and you basically just, I'm a call him till he tell me to stop calling.
The funny thing is, once I got the job, it was funny because I was going to be the first. There had been people. We had black reporters and some black cameramen.
Absolutely, that's what I want to say. I don't want you to shy away, and not say shy away.
No,
but
I'm not shying away. Mm-hmm. I guess here's the thing.
Yes, sir.
I've tried to raise my kids,
mm-hmm,
that listen, Dad's on TV,
right?
But you know what? Dad's job is not any more important than bus driver, which my dad was, truck driver, firefighter, any of those folks, as long as they are, because once I'm off TV, I'm still me, but I'm not, I'm not Al Roker on TV. I'm just Al Roker. So, don't think that we're important, that much more important, just because of what I do. You should be important for who you are, not what you are.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not shying away from what you're saying.
And I'm not saying that you are. I'm just saying this is what I've had to kind of impart upon my kids, because
absolutely,
they've seen me fly into a rage. Al Roker wearing a suit, holding a briefcase with them, trying to flag a cab in midtown Manhattan.
And nobody stops.
And that cab mm-hmm. passes you by for right. a white guy or a white woman half a block down who isn't dressed nearly as well as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, I am so grateful that I did one of the last, if not the last interview with John Lewis.
Absolutely.
And he talked about how hard, you know, just when you think maybe there's no hope or you're feeling a little down about stuff. And he said, seeing these people, seeing this diverse group, this rainbow of
isn't it amazing?
People,
isn't that amazing?
Young people demonstrating that have said enough's enough.
Yeah, and that's, and you're saying the truth. You're speaking the truth, Al, because, you know, this weekend, because when they told me I was going to be interviewing you this Monday, and you brought up John Lewis, because I was going to bring him up in this interview, and I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, Al, when I talk to you about mm-hmm. who you are and what you mean to African Americans, is that when, you know, as much as I knew about John Lewis, when I see him walk down that bridge in Selma, 25 years yeah. old.
Yeah.
That was for the first time I saw him. You know, I saw him. And yeah. and you are a pioneer. And you've written a great book, and all these great stories you tell or told are checkpoints of history to me. Because I know that I'm in the entertainment business. I know the difficulty of what you have to do in entertainment to be successful, period. It may be the most difficult field that you can get in to try to be a person of color and try to be successful in entertainment. And yeah. you've achieved it. And I say that because of the fact that in Syracuse, D.C., Cleveland, New York, you have to be a person of authority and accepted that the information coming out of your mouth is real and accurate. And you've achieved that for over 40 years. That's an incredible talent. And I just wanted to congratulate you on that. And that was important for me to let you know how I feel from a person, my daughter, my family, that you have been important to the African-American community, my friend. And
well, thank you.
And that you know, it resonates in this book more when I read it, because it, you know, you couch it very well with humor. But also the reality is that you have to be quick on your feet, you have to be smart, and you have to be willing to work hard. And when the opportunity yeah. presents itself, you cannot shy away from it. That's what that's the no. tale of your book, right?
And you know, it's funny because, you know, I got a job in Syracuse, and then I got a job in Washington. And I moved to Cleveland, which was, you know, fairly, at the time, in the late 70s, was a fairly racially polarized city.
Yes, it was.
And again, I was the first black weatherman there.
Thank you.
And what was interesting, we had an anchor guy. He was married to his co-anchor.
Tell me, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Doug Adair. And mm-hmm. and you know, nice man. I you know, if you would ask me, is Doug racist? I'd say no. But Doug, you know, could say some things. And one night, after our newscast, we were in downtown Cleveland. Not a great time to be out after 11 o'clock. An older African-American gentleman who was homeless, everybody knew him, mm-hmm. Came up behind Doug with a rolled up newspaper and kind of bopped him on the back of the head and ran off. And that was it. Well, the next day, Doug's telling everybody how he was assaulted and attacked. And we all kind of like, yeah, we wish we had been the one who had done it. But anyway,
love it.
Anyway, his wife, his co-host, Mona, is about to introduce me. We're live on TV. And she says, and now here's Mona. Before you introduce Al, I have to tell you, I don't know if you'd heard, but last night, after our 11 o'clock news, one of your people attacked me. Now, you know, it's one of those moments, Rashawn, where time stands still. You're trying to figure out how am I going to react to this? Is it outrage? While on TV, I looked at him and I said, Doug, why in the world would a weatherman attack you? And then just moved on. Well, people were outraged for me. They called, you know, I mean, and they had to suspend him. And then he came back to, as a reporter, demoted, kind of a field anchor, as they called it. Mm-hmm. And then like 6-7 months later, he resigned, and he and his wife went down to Columbus, Ohio, and, you know, had another good 10 years down there. But, You know, it's, you know, you've got to pick your, look, there's so much that we can be outraged about.
Right.
That we have to pick our points.
Right.
You know, me being called out by an anchorman, you know, for some goofy thing, you know, maybe not so much, but you can have the same impact.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Quora use Vanta to build trust and prove security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations Masterclass continues online at moneymakingconversations.com. And follow Money Making Conversations Masterclass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You know, I was, thank you for the comment, Al. Yeah, you know, I'm talking to Al Roker, his fantastic book, You Look So Much Better in Person, True Stories of Absurdity and Success. I'm a guy, I get up at 4 o'clock every day, Al. You are a 3:45 a.m. guy. You beat me by 15 minutes, my friend. So I got to bow down to you for that 15 minutes. And the reason I bring that up, because a lot of my friends and co-workers and people that call me for motivation and advice, they said, Rashawn, why do you get up at 4 o'clock? Do you have to be anywhere at 4 o'clock? I said, no. I said, but it's a difference when I get up at 4 and a difference when I get up at 6 is how I prepare for the day. And and it's not so much, and it's how you allow your body and your mind to go through. I get up, Al, I go downstairs, I stretch, I'm watching the news to about 4:30, I find out the weather. Then by 5 o'clock, I'm in my life, you know, I'm on my own pace. And so walk through the steps why that time, besides having to be to work at a certain time every morning, Monday through Friday, that 3:45 is important to you. And people should adhere to having a set time that they get up on a daily basis to be successful.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. I find that I am most productive in that hour because I don't really need to get up till 4:45 or 5 o'clock or even 5:15, much like yourself. But there are no phone calls to be made. There are no emails to answer. There are no kids projects that you've got to work on. You don't have to, don't tell her I said this, answer to your wife.
Right.
All you have to do is get up and do what you want to do. I don't like rushing, much like yourself. I do not like rushing to get ready for work. I would rather, and to be frank, that's when I wrote most of this book, was during that hour, we tend to waste a lot of time.
We do.
You know, if you could add up the time you're kind of mindlessly scrolling the internet, you know, on the looking at Twitter or Instagram, or and the time you're just looking at things to buy or whatever, you probably could find another 90 minutes in your day.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. And I tell people that. I said there are 24 hours in a day. Learn to take advantage of each hour. And that's what you're saying right now when you say, look, I get up at 3:45, Rashawn. It's my time.
Yep. So that's I tell people, that's I wrote that in the book. I said, you know, get up at least an hour before you have to. Because you will be surprised, and I think kind of amazed at how productive that hour will be for you.
That was a great point of knowledge in your book. Another great point of knowledge I wanted to bring out was the power of relationships. And two people that stood out in this book, and I always tell people about my life, is that people, I didn't see the vision in me sometimes, and some people saw it and they pushed me in the direction or nudged me, or sometimes say, why are you still standing here looking at me? Get out. And Chris in Cleveland, and you mentioned his name earlier, Willis Scott in the DC. Talk about the significant role they played as far as the power relationships in your life to the career you have today.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Willard, you know, gave me all that advice and just nurtured, you know, like, you know, really got me ready for this. In a sense, he was, and I say this with no shame, I consider him like a second dad.
Right.
He, in fact, if my dad was still alive today, they would be the same age. You know, and he just, you know, he was generous to a fault. He still is. But, you know, the idea, when I was working at WNBC in New York and filling in for him, and he came to me and he said, listen, it's my time. I'm going to step back a little bit. But they should be thinking about putting you in there. And that's who I'm telling them. But if they come to you, just know that this is my choice. Now, there are very few people in this business who would do that. And the person who set me up to be in that position was this woman, my news director, Chris Ostrowski.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland. She was the one who told me about the weekend weather job in New York. She said, look, they're looking for a weekend weather person. You're from New York. You don't need to be here anymore. Call the news director. Have your agent call the news director. Tell him, I know that you're calling, and you need to get down there and audition for that job. And I auditioned. My agent called. They said they loved it. They want you to start. And my station in Cleveland was about to, we had moved from third place to second, and we were knocking on the door for first place. And the general manager said, here's what we'll do. If you agree to stay for another 2 years, we will raise your salary. You'll be the second highest paid anchor person in Cleveland. We will guarantee at the end of those 2 years, you will move to New York as the weekend weatherman at the same salary that you're making now, which would have been far more than I would have been making in New York if I had taken the job. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? Why not? I love Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. So I'm going to stay. And I went in to tell my news director, and she said, Al, as your news director, right. I think this is great news. It's fantastic. As your friend, I think you're making a huge mistake. You need to get out of here now. Now, who does that? You know?
That's what I was saying. Who did that was somebody who saw something in you that you weren't ready to accept. I know I say that because it's happened to me. And I say that to people all the time, is that you value relationships. And she's your mentor as well. And yeah. I'd like to believe Willard is your mentor. And people see stuff and they tell you, don't relax because your gifts were greater than what were being offered in Cleveland. Go to New York, young man. Go there and challenge yourself. And that move is the move of why we see you today on the Today Show. And
absolutely.
Now, we talked about earlier about, you know, all these different jobs. Now they call it multiple streams of income. You know, back in the day, they used to say we were Jamaicans when we had those many jobs. But now it's called multiple streams of income.
Side hustles.
You're right. Now it's properly used as multiple streams. Got to have multiple streams of income if you want to make it in the world today. Now, one of those multiple streams of income is the Al Roker Entertainment Incorporated Production Company. Tell us about that. And why was it important that you start and produce things out of that production company? What's your name?
Well, you know, I always wanted, as I said, I didn't want to be on TV. I wanted to be in TV. I wanted to work in television. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to produce. And I, in 1994, I did a couple of specials for the Food Network just as a host. And And I saw, and they wanted me to do some more, and I thought, why can't I produce these? So I asked the general manager of, at the time, who used to work with me at WNBC, and she said, sure. And I really enjoyed it. And so kept producing shows, did some for the Weather Channel and Lifetime and some other places. We're about to announce an animated series for a network I can't mention right now. We're doing stuff with we just have a very varied group of projects. One that looks at veterans coming back with brain injuries with a group called Life Aid. It's called Life Aid, a story of hope. It's going to air the end of August on Discovery, American Heroes, and the Science Channel. You know, it's important to me to be able to have a voice,
right,
to be able to, you know, have a say in what we do and how we do it.
Now, what is the difference then? You know, I'm talking to Al Roker, his great book, you should buy it right now, called You Look So Much Better in Person. When you're, because I use the word, you are a star, you're a media star, you're a television star, you're on a very popular morning news broadcast, and you're a weather expert or authority. When people walk by, they ask you the weather, jokingly or seriously. That's who you are. Now you're a producer, a different hat. What is the difference of the two, other than the fact that you are a media star as a talent, now you're becoming a media star as a producer? What's the difference?
Oh, you know, in a sense, they're very much the same, in that you know, what do you want people to come away with? Do you want them to feel like they've wasted their time, or do you want them to feel like they've had some value added by watching you or by watching something you've produced? You know, I like to say that there's no show, although my kids are older now, but there's no show that I've produced that I wouldn't be proud to have my kids watch. Or my parents watch.
Right.
And look, we could be a far bigger production company, but you know, by doing certain kinds of programs, I just don't want to do those.
And before we wrap up, I wanted to bring this comment up, and I want you to respond to it. It's about hard work, and sometimes when you work hard, you might not get paid extra or might not feel appreciated when you're working that hard. And I feel it was a major move to the success that you are today, because that's what the book lays out to me. Each chapter tells a story about, okay, this is what I had to do. Now, was I happy doing it? No, but I had to do it, and it led to this. And one of those examples was when Dr. Frank Fields, before he was moved over to CBS and thought it was going to be greener pastures, you worked hard for eight straight weeks with only 2 days off. You know, that could have been a breaking point. You could have said, enough is enough. You said, hey, I want more money. This is not right. You could have complained. But why didn't you?
Sure. Well, here's the deal. For two things, and it may sound corny, but I love what I do. I mean, to be in this industry, you know, people say, oh, you work so hard. I said, you know what? My dad drove a bus for 8 hours a day, worked a lot of overtime. Sometimes we wouldn't see him for a couple of days. That's really hard work. This is work, but I love what I'm doing. It's not a job. It's my passion. So if in the long term, this is going to bring me something, I don't know if it is or not, but all I know is that if I give somebody else the opportunity to do it, then I don't get that opportunity. So I will put in the hours. I will bust my butt to do it, because I want whatever's going to come after it, not somebody else.
Well, what came out of it in NBC, you got rolled into the studio in a chocolate cake, and you've been there ever since. Just tell us, how did the chocolate cake scenario come out, and the fact you got rolled into the studio in a chocolate cake, Al?
Well, you know, it was
one of the funnier moments in the book, by the way, Al.
Well, thank you. It's, I mean, listen, you do what you got to do.
Right.
Somebody suggested it, and I thought, why not? You know, What's the worst that can happen? Luckily, I'm not allergic to chocolate.
Right. Well, my friend, I want to thank you for coming on my show. I have a newsletter that goes out to 90,000 people, 94,000 people every Wednesday. I want to drop your book in there. I have over a million social media followers. 90% are female. Please tell them to send me some banners and links so I can drop it into my my social media posts. My friend, I admire you. Thank you for allowing us to have an honest conversation. Every time I watch that TV, you're a blessing, my friend. Don't change and keep raising thank that you, great sir. Family and leading us all, my friend, in a positive direction. Thank you, Al Roker.
Thank you. Take care.
All righty. If you want to hear more I appreciate you. If you want to hear more Money Making Conversation interviews, please go to moneymakingconversation.com. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I'm your host.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rashawn McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
The Essence Festival of Culture, presented by Coca-Cola, celebrates its 30th year in New Orleans, July 4th through the 7th. Performances from the history maker herself, Janet Jackson. Birdman presents 30 Years of Cash Money Millionaires, SWV, Victoria Monet, and many more. Essence is where we affirm, uplift, and revel in our Black excellence. Visit EssenceFestival.com for tickets. Let's celebrate together. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Coca-Cola, and Target, AT&T, L'Oreal, and McDonald's. See you in New Orleans.